Don't mind your business, mind my podcast, Mind Elixir. Hello, and welcome to or back to my podcast, Mind Elixir. It's Ayoka, and today we're going to be talking about the natural hair community, texturism, and so much more, along with a little bit of history, because I really haven't done one of these informative type episodes in a while, but I've really been wanting to do an episode on this specific topic for a while. So basically, this episode is all about black hair and its connection with our identity. But first off, I think that in general, black women have a complex relationship to their hair. And going back in history a bit, there is a reason people always say it's not just hair, it's not just hair. Because it quite literally isn't. Literally, since before slavery, back in West Africa, we have such a rich cultural history that just comes with our hair and is related to our hair. So that's why. Something that I first wanted to talk about is the origin of some of these hairstyles and why it's so important. So if we go all the way back to pre-colonial Africa, West Africa specifically, before colonization, different hairstyles such as maybe the pattern in which someone wore their cornrows or the height of the hairstyle, how complex it's braided, stuff like that, literally symbolize stuff like status, which tribe you belong to, religion, and so much more. People would also wear different hairstyles depending on the occasion or if there was a special event. And when I say people, I mean both men and women, not just women, would take hours getting their hair done. Like if your hair wasn't done, then there was something up. And you know, I relate to them on that level because I love to have my hair done in a one hairstyle or another. And I love picking out different hairstyles on Pinterest for my mother to do or to try and, you know, attempt. So basically what I'm saying is that hair was a key aspect of West African culture and African culture in general, along with other things such as food, style, clothing, all that. All of those aspects were part of their culture and hair was just one of those many aspects. So whenever the slave trade began in West Africa, In order to strip the African people of their identity and their individuality, slave traders would often just shave off their captives' hair. Also, slave traders used hair kind of like they did with skin color and the facial features of black people to say, hey, these people aren't like us. That's why they have these animal-like, this unkempt hair, all of that. So they basically used it as sort of a method of separating and distinguishing and just, you know, degrading African black people. Now, of course, now we know that kinky curly hair had an evolutionary advantage of helping to keep the scalp cool in the hot African climate. But I'm pretty sure that even if they'd known that back then, that these people, these, you know, crazy racist people trading human beings, they would not have cared. And on plantations, many women were forced to wear headscarves and, you know, forced to always cover their hair because they weren't able to take care of it properly. They didn't have the right proper tools, you know, kind of busy being enslaved, fearing for their life and all of that. And something I found that's actually related to this, I think I talked about this or I made a reel about this before, is the Tignon Law of 1786. So basically in Louisiana, some black people were free, and this law said that black women had to cover up their hair. They were required to, forced to by law, cover up their hair. And this was because the white people in the area, they wanted to make an even clearer distinction between the free black folks and the white people to say, you'll never be like us, and to try to further divide them and, you know, make sure they couldn't rise up in society and all of that. And when this law was enacted, black women did what black women do. They innovated. They began to actually wear the tignon in elaborate styles using colorful fabrics and adding accessories like jewels and feathers. And you can actually kind of still see this today. I think whenever black women wear their own, just even if it's not fancy ones, like just stuff to protect their hair like bonnets or just wear a headscarf to whenever they're going to the beauty store to pick up more hair or more supplies for their hair, just wearing head wraps. And sometimes I see the connection between the headscarves worn here in America by Black Americans, and then also back in West Africa, specifically Nigeria, which is my culture, geles, which are these elaborate head wraps that can be tall, and you use fabric to wrap them around your hair. So I think that's really cool how there's this connection between current Black American culture and older West African culture, and how even though some people say that Black Americans have lost their culture, really it's just evolved, and there's still aspects of that culture here today. So I think that's really cool. And you've probably heard of how there were like field slaves and house slaves. And really, this just refers to how the darker skinned enslaved people would often have to work out in the sun doing more strenuous, more hardworking jobs, while the lighter skinned enslaved folks who were usually the product of rape by the white slave owners would often receive a somewhat preferential treatment, and they would just have to attend to the duties within the house. Now, the lighter skinned folks would also often actually have looser curls, because obviously if you take, you know, a white person's straight hair, combine that with the coily hair of an African, West African person, you're going to get wavy hair. And these looser curls actually became associated with whiteness and better status. Same with how lighter skin in Black folks has become associated with better status, or is sometimes seen as more desirable. And this form of preference, kind of, I guess, in hair is called texturism. And really, we can still see this today because of all this texturism in the Black community. I'll hear white women saying that they want to marry a Black man so that they can have a cute little chocolate babies with curly hair. And the thing is, you know what, that whenever they say curly hair, they're really only talking about a specific type of curly hair. They're not talking about kinky, coily, curly hair that stands up in an afro. They're talking about loose curls that are quote unquote manageable or seen as more socially acceptable. And then there will be Black girls saying that they wish they had good hair, which I think is so sad, because like they're being taught that their own coily, kinky hair is unmanageable and undesirable, when in reality, our hair is like literally the most versatile. And I'll see people with short, kinky hair degrading themselves and complaining in the comment sections of videos where girls are doing their type 3 curls. And I'm like, babes, get up, stop complaining, go be self-hating elsewhere. And it's like, just appreciate your hair for what it is. And I understand that's hard, because you know, when society's telling you this is unkempt, this isn't acceptable. But yeah, and other Black women will call each other bald-headed in order to insult each other, or they'll make fun of someone's hair for not being or looking a certain way. And I just think that's so sad. I think we should really just be uplifting each other. We shouldn't be dividing this into you have good hair, she has bad hair, quote unquote, and all of that. And whenever I was younger, I would see girls with these loose type 3 curls, and I'd wish that, like, you know, I had that. And I remember how in middle school, my mom tried to straighten my hair, and literally it burned it burned my scalp. So no more straight hair for me. Yeah, I really had no desire to have straight hair or even looser curls after that. And even whenever I get crochet hair or whatever, it's usually going to be a hair that's closer to my own hair type. And maybe in the future I will experiment with wigs, like straight haired wigs, or try to get a silk press done professionally, of course, so that I don't have my hair burned. But as of right now, I'm just not rolling with that. But I'm always open to experimentation, as long as it is not hurting my hair or hurting myself. But personally, I love my coily curly hair. And there's also people that will use relaxers and perms to straighten their hair. And I I've actually heard that these relaxers and these perms, these products to that chemically straighten their hair and, permanently damage it, they've been linked to cancer. So I think it's just so crazy the lengths people will go to for beauty and to be accepted in society, and that this hatred for whether it's for people's hair, people's features, people's skin color, it just runs so deep. But at the same time, I don't, whenever I say it's crazy, I know it's crazy, but at the same time, I understand it. Because if someone is growing up and constantly hearing that their hair is bad hair and that they need to go get their hair done because it shouldn't be looking like that, or that their hair in their natural state is bad and all of that, and if they're just not seeing their hair represented in a positive light, then yeah, they're probably gonna want to change it. Something that I really don't think should be done is perming little girls' hair. I think that's just teaching them self-hate a bit too early. Self-hate a bit too early. And some mothers, like, they won't even try to attempt to try and style their daughter's hair. They'll just, as soon as they start growing hair, grow enough hair or whatever, they'll just take them to get it permed. And I think that really sucks. Especially since a perm is, as it's in the name, it's permanent. And then that's where we have this whole awkward phase of people having to chop all their hair off. But that's kind of where I feel like that's kind of where the natural hair community on YouTube popped up from. A lot of people chopping their hair off, and then they just became chopping their hair off and letting it grow in its natural state. And then they went to YouTube to look for a bunch of hairstyles, how to take care of their natural hair. So I think that part is really beautiful. And as for my own hair journey, thankfully my mother never relaxed my hair. And she's been doing my hair for me since I was little. She even does it now, which in a sense is kind of problematic for me because I'm going off to college soon, in like a year or so, and I really need to learn how to do my hair. I talked about this in the previous episode, my life update episode, which, by the way, I'm literally recording this episode and my previous life update episode on the same day. I just switched the jewelry I'm wearing, which, if you see the video, yeah, there's that. But yeah, the lady was talking about how everybody in the dorm will know how to do nails, hair, makeup, all of that. And I want to be the girl that knows how to do hair. I want to be the hair girl. But to actually do that, I need to put in the work to accomplish that. And as of right now, have I been putting enough work to learn how to do hair? Probably not, but I'll get to it. I'll get to it soon, hopefully. Now, going back to my hair journey, which really isn't much of a journey, in middle school, I got my hair cut into a short afro because I was inspired by Lupita Nyong'o. She was this model and she has a really close cut afro sort of hairstyle. And the fro, it was cute. It was cute for a minute, but I got so tired of it and having to comb it out every single day. I was done. Also, it kind of made me feel like a boy, especially since I'm already flat and I don't wear makeup or anything. And society, like it really, they society kind of masculinizes black women, so I really just didn't like that in general. I'm kind of more of a girly girl leaning towards the girl side. Not saying that you can't be feminine with short hair. Lupita Nyong'o literally proves that you can. And of course, feminine and masculine, that's your own choice, your own interpretation. You can express that however you want. But I don't think I would go back to having a short afro again or wearing that out every day. And another issue, or not necessarily an issue of my own, but it was more of an issue of these people's, I guess, or their fault, if that makes sense, was people constantly touching my hair. Now, this obviously wasn't my fault. It was these folks that needed to back off. And I don't know why they felt the need to touch my hair specifically after I told them to stop. But it was just such a constant, consistent thing in middle school, and I was so annoyed, especially this one girl. She was my friend, but she would always do it. So that was kind of weird. I don't know. I guess she thought it was, maybe she thought it was okay, even though I made it like explicitly clear that it wasn't. And that it was, that I was very uncomfortable with it, because I know a lot of Black people have shared their experiences where they talk about, yeah, I don't like my hair being touched. Do not touch my hair. I'm not a zoo animal. I'm not a pet. All that. And I literally felt the same way. So I can relate to that very much. However, something good that did come from me having my hair short was that I got weave done for the first time. Basically, it was the Senegalese twists. I went up to Maryland with my family, and then my aunt, she did my hair with extensions, weave, whatever you call that. And after that, my mom learned from YouTube how to do a bunch of hairstyles using extensions, weave, and crochet. And here I am today, tried a bunch of different hairstyles. My mom's able to do a bunch of different hairstyles. So I feel like having my hair short, it kind of did open me up to a bunch of, opportunities to being able to have different hairstyles that my mom had not been able to do before, if that makes sense, and just trying to experiment with hairstyles overall. Anyway, jumping back into the history of Black hair, I also wanted to talk about how the Afro became symbolic, because although there were, of course, many hairstyles that Black women wore in order to fit into Eurocentric beauty standards, you know, and to be deemed professional in the workplace, such as pompadours, silk presses, all of that, straight-haired wigs, and more, there was this era of resistance to beauty standards, which is still, of course, ongoing. And this resistance to beauty standards, it was around the civil rights movement of the 1960s, and we all know Angela Davis and her iconic afro, which actually she didn't even want to be known for that. She didn't even want to be viewed and just reduced to her afro, because she's so much more than that. She has her political and activist thought and books and all of that, and I understand her for that, but I think the afro, it became really symbolic in that period. But at the same time, it's like an afro, it's literally just my hair in its natural state. It's literally just our hair in its natural state. So it doesn't always have to be a political statement or someone trying to be an activist, someone trying to be hashtag Black Power Afro. No, it's just our hair in its natural state. And sometimes people just want to wear an afro, you know, same with any other hairstyle. But I think for so long, our hair in its natural state has been deemed unacceptable, and you know, it still is in some cases. So this afro became this sort of symbol or this show of support and pride in Black culture, you know? And overall, it's really just not hair. That's what I'm trying to say. It's just not hair. And it's, our hair is so much more than that. And I hope I was able to convey that it well in this podcast episode. Now, if you liked this episode, I highly, highly suggest listening to my episode on colorism. There are so many parallels between colorism and texturism. And honestly, this episode was long overdue. It was a quick episode, but long overdue. And here we are. And yeah, make sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or whatever platform you're listening on. And let me know if you have any natural hair stories in the comments. Make sure to follow me on Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, all those socials, you know the things. Have a lovely rest of the day, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.